such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody, and welcome. Happy Independence Day, the day after.
Day after.
The day after.
Day after.
Or day after.
You guys have a barbecue or...
We played it low-key this year.
Yeah.
Just relaxing after the storms.
Storms.
It's terrible storms.
Terrible.
Terrible.
Did you?
No, I didn't do it. I stayed at home.
You guys ever barbecue?
Not really. We usually go somewhere. Sometimes if Angelica's parents are here, we go to the house and have a cookout. And we didn't do that this year, which was kind of nice. Well, not because, Angelica's parents are in Mexico, so...
Right.
Yeah.
Just kind of relax. I had migrants from Venezuela who stopped by in the morning in dire straits, in need. But so I spent some time with them and did what I could, gave what little I could, and, told them, certainly we have the soup kitchen here. But these political ideologues have really created a crisis, and we don't have the means to deal with it, to be honest. And it's these are the people who are suffering.
They're caught in the middle.
Caught in the middle.
Father, and I don't want to make this, but I've been thinking about this for a long time, and it amazes me. It just amazes me. Because I was saying this from the very beginning, and again, people get looked at as, oh, you have no compassion. Help these people. These people need help. All this.
It's true.
It is true. It is very true. But the point is, where were the United States thinking about, okay, if you're going to let everybody come in, where are you, how are you going to house them? How are you going to feed them?
Well, that's why I say it's just political ideologues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
that's what makes me angry.
Naiveness or money or power or whatever it is. We've created a very sad situation for these people who are promised. Well, whatever. And I felt really bad, and there's nothing I could not. Any more that I could do for them, and they're all over Chicago now.
Yes,
they claim that the different places where they're housing them are full, and that's police stations, from
exactly.
what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
You said
we
that.
Went to the police station just recently, and there's people there,
and there's other places,
former schools, buildings, yes,
yeah.
I think Wright College too. I think is housing them, but it blows my mind, because even these little makeshift places, these are not where you should house people that are in need like this. I mean, I think of parishes, even way back when you think of the soup kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually people that have been doing this, looking after people, taking care of people. For years before this, and now all of a sudden, I just can't sit here and think the United States of America did not have a plan for this.
Well,
you hit it on the nail.
Created crisis. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and, that's what it feels like. And when people,
of course
you get persecuted for when you start talking this way. Oh, no, no. But it's so obvious.
It feels to me like a kind of abuse.
It is.
Abusing a people who...
And then they're being used for their own agendas.
Exactly.
Political agendas.
Political agendas, yeah. It's so sad.
Anyway, I don't want to get into all that. I had written a whole letter on that, and last night I couldn't sleep because certain people picked up on it, and, you know, there's always this fear of retribution.
Sure.
It wasn't specifically about that, but it's just, a lot of the crazy things going on as we talk about, as we speak about this all the time, and those who are in the trenches and trying to navigate through this upside-down world we're living in, at a time when there's so much confusion and we need clarity. We're not getting the clarity.
Absolutely.
The clarity comes from where? It comes from our basic foundation. You know, we, as I mentioned in the letter, you know, it was on Independence Day that they come to me and, you know, and I brought them in. We talked for quite some time and I gave them what I could, you know, what little I could. I didn't have much. I felt totally helpless.
Yeah.
Except, like I said, we have this the soup kitchen, but it's just one crisis among many crises right now. That
and the problem is that this country is the land of the free, and we have the doors are open. But each country, we have our own needs. We have to take care of our own people, the people that are in need, and then of course we feel for these people. They need help, but there was no plan, like you said, Tom.
There's no plan.
There's no plan.
The infrastructure's not there.
Yeah.
Or wasn't created, or they're trying to create something perhaps now at the last hour. It's easy to say, you know, this is a sanctuary city, but when reality hits you in the face,
right.
And
yeah.
All of a sudden, you know, well, you where's what preparations have been made for this? Mm-hmm. But it's by the way, you know, the number one movie, even outranking Indiana Jones.
That's pretty easy because that movie
the new movie that's out. Did you see that one?
Wouldn't waste my time with Indiana Jones.
But anyway, The Sound of Freedom.
Wow.
I've heard that movie
amazing. Number one movie in America on July 4th. And I talked to a number of people who saw it.
Yes.
And they said, everybody has to see this movie.
That's
it's
right.
About human trafficking.
Yes.
Oh,
and
my.
The children.
Yeah. With Jim Caviezel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's
wow.
Powerful movie.
An exposition, exposing, you know, this reality. But there's, anyway, let's pray. And then today's a feast of St. Maria Goretti. So I want to talk a little bit about that. Contrast that with the stuff that we're always talking about today, because it's always in your face, and just the diabolical disorientation that has taken grip of our society, and then of course I've got some interesting commentary by Cardinal Sara, who spoke in Mexico at La Salle University in Mexico this past week, and I things that he suggests we do in this time of diabolic disorientation. But let's begin with prayer, and this is also the month of the Precious Blood, so we'll pray the litany to the Precious Blood. So I'm a little bit tired. I was up all night. I just couldn't sleep. I was bothered by the mind is a battleground of the enemy, as they say, you know. And I just, everything gets distorted. And I was trying to think, okay, what did I write? Because I'd sent this letter out, right? And one has to be so careful today, what you say and how you say it, because of the fear of retribution. I think I've already said that, but it just feels that. People are so, there's this, so we talk about Independence Day as our being set free or liberated from a tyrannical regime. And yet it feels like we're living in a time of tyranny. Again, at multiple levels of society, morality, ecclesiology, you know, how we understand the church, we just talked about the situation with immigration. Mm-hmm. We're a country of immigrants. We've always been. We've all come from that. And but when we are not using right reason or common sense, that there's a way to go about this, you know, because our doors have always been open, but not wide open. There's a process.
There's a difference. Mm-hmm. If you're just going to storm in, that's an invasion.
Well,
that's
and again, I don't want to besmirch. I mean, not that you're mm-hmm. doing that, but I have deep compassion for these mm-hmm. people. But I have a problem with again the political ideologues.
Yeah.
Who have ulterior motives, seemingly so, an agenda, and again, who's being vetted? Who's being vetted? Mm-hmm.
That's exactly.
What are we dealing with? But this is a crisis. Mm-hmm. It's a crisis, not only here, but it's throughout the world. And at all levels of society, morality. What's happening to our children? Well, we'll talk about a little bit about that, I think. And let's pray, and then we'll certainly, as we've been praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet in the last few days, we've been asking or offering the chaplet for the United States. You know, that the Lord have mercy on us for what we've become or what we're becoming. You know, which is so. Radically contrary to the values and the principles upon which the nation was built. And again, we talked about this the other day, but I forgot who said that this Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, this is all made for a virtuous, a moral, a God-fearing people. And we live in a time when to be God-fearing, to be moral, and to live by certain principles and in a work ethic, mm-hmm. Love that is sacrificial, that's being challenged right and left. The future really depends on whether or not we return to sanity and civility, using right reason, and I mean right reason and common sense. We really do need the prayers. And I was telling the staff this morning, we were talking, and it just seems like every day there's so much negative stuff that we're hearing. There's so many tragedies and all that, and a lot of it doesn't have to be. But it is, because we've kind of lost our way, and it brings you down a bit, you know. And I don't even want to use the radio as a means to bring us down, but to give us hope. But that hope has to be given within the context of reality, right? So we can't pretend we're not in some kind of la-la land, and we certainly can't go back. Nothing new under the sun, so there's always been problems, but the intensity and the degree to which people are suffering today and are isolated and very lonely is quite frightening, to be honest. So we'll talk about that again, and wherein lies our hope. You know, that that's something that each and every one of us can acquire. It just means we turn our attention to God. We return to God, pure and simple, and not be gaslighted into believing that because we hold to a faith, that we hold to sacred scripture, the full counsel of God, sacred tradition, that we are somehow and that we're not open to radical changes that really go contrary to what's been handed down to us, that we're an unloving people, or that we're not, or we're a rigid people, as we're so often called. On the contrary, it's again using common sense and right reason and thinking beyond ourselves and beyond our time. What is the future? What about the future for our children? You know, and this is if God doesn't, and I don't mean just giving God lip service, but I mean if we're not really reading, every time I read Scripture, I'm thinking to myself, what Scripture are many of our own people reading that they justify a kind of permissive attitude toward behavior that is void of sacrifice. Love is sacrificial. Following Christ is going to cost us something because we have responsibility one for another and for the common good and for the future, again, for the future, and for the salvation of our people. So let us pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, to the same Christ, our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us. Increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. And we pray now the litany to the most precious blood. July is dedicated to the most precious blood of our Lord. I precede this prayer, and everything brings us back to the Holy Eucharist, the perpetuation of the Holy Sacrifice of the Cross of the Messianic Hour, and we enter into that sacrifice. As St. Paul says, offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. And so this is what we do when we go to Mass, and sacrifice is essential because it's there. That's our salvation, and that brings us to the encounter through Holy Communion with the risen Christ as he feeds us with his body and blood, his soul and divinity. And so in a rather mystical way, if we extrapolate from the book of Revelation, when we view the multitude from every language, race, tongue, all around the throne of the Lamb victorious yet slain, the wounded healer, the question was asked of St. John, who are these people, where have they come from? And he said, well, sir, you know better than I. And he said, yes, these are those who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. In other words, they've assisted in the proper worship of God and the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which brings them to Holy Communion, the Holy Eucharist. This is the highest act of prayer, and all prayer and our Christian life flows from that and brings us back into the Holy Eucharist, even unbeknown to oneself. You know, this is necessary because it is a perpetuation of the Messianic hour until Jesus comes at the end of time. So we pray the litany of the most precious blood. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
God, our Father in heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Spirit,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Blood of Christ, only Son of the Father, be our salvation. Blood of Christ, eternal incarnate Word,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ of the new and eternal covenant,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ spilled to the ground,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ that flowed at the scourging,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ dripping from the thrones,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ shed on the cross,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, the price of our redemption,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, our only claim to pardon,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, our blessing cup,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ in which we are washed,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, torrent of mercy,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ that overcomes evil,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, strength of the martyrs,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, endurance of the saints,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ that makes the barren fruitful,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, protection of the threatened,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, comfort of the weary,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, source of the mourner,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, hope of the repentant,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, consolation of the dying,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, our peace and refreshment,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, our pledge of life,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, by which we pass to glory,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, most worthy of honor,
be our salvation.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
Lord, you redeemed us by your blood. You have made us a kingdom to serve our God. Let us pray. O God, who by the precious blood of your only begotten Son have redeemed the whole world, preserve in us the work of your mercy, so that ever honoring the mystery of our salvation, we may merit to obtain its fruits through Christ our Lord. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Maria Goretti,
pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
So we'll take a break. We'll come back and talk a little bit about the Google and pulling sponsorship of a LGBT pride and drag show. I can spend a lot of time on that, but it's an interesting contrast to then today's commemoration or celebration of the feast of Saint Maria Goretti. I didn't want to read from the words of I believe it was Pope Pius XII on the occasion of her canonization to the sainthood. I think it's an interesting contrast. So we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WSFI.
I'm Dr. Peter Howard, founder of the Fulton Sheen Movement. On July 9th, join me and Father Tom Loya at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen for an historic rally to fan the flame of love and devotion to Venerable Fulton Sheen. We need Fulton Sheen's intercession and guidance now more than ever. We're gathering to pray for his cause and especially for the Holy Spirit to move the church to set a new date for his beatification. Starting at 10 a.m., come and pray with us. Enjoy a delicious cookout and hear inspiring talks on Sheen by Father Loya and myself. Activities are planned for the whole family. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com for a complete schedule and to sign our global petition to unpause the cause of this great prophet for our times. Co-sponsored by WFSI, this rally is your chance to make a difference. I'll see you all on July 9th.
Bye now, and God love you.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
Sometimes it's tough to hear Winds of Change over the air, what with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link. Winds of Change would like you to know that July is the month we honor the precious blood of Jesus, falling right between June's devotion to the Sacred Heart and August's devotion to the Immaculate Heart. July is an ideal time to connect our devotion to Jesus and Mary, as well as to heighten our connection to the blood of the Lamb of God.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony, Winds of Change. Really tired today. I'm sorry to say, you can hear it in my voice. Yeah. I can feel it. It's very hard to talk. But I was up most of the night, just kind of tossing and turning and just all these wicked, you know, just irrational fears, you know, about what... I say this is the age in which we're living, where you just you feel this. I can't keep from speaking to the truth,
right,
as I see it, based on my prayer and based on my reading of sacred scripture, and I know there's a grave temptation to appease the spirit of the age in which we're living in, because this is an inconvenient, out of season time. But it's but I keep going back to what Pope Benedict said, and it just resonated with everything that I was feeling within myself, not knowing what was coming down the pike. I mean, because there's been just such radical change in the past, 15 years perhaps. I mean, radical change. Actually, really, really began with the redefinition of marriage, and I said that was a Pandora's box that opened. And now, I mean, look at what we're dealing with. But the Holy Father told us we were. This was actually right before I entered into the radio, because I was actually they had asked me to work with Radio Maria, mm-hmm. Because I thought my pastorate was over. I thought it was coming to the end. And so I saw this as when it was presented to me, I said, I'll consider it. And so I was called to Rome for this Congress and went to the Congress, and I was the only American priest, the only white one, white priest. It was mostly from African countries and Latin American countries. But we had, there were about maybe 30, 40 of us, it seems, and we had a very private audience with Pope Benedict. And the thing that he really emanated light. I mean, you just felt you were certainly in the presence of a saint. And he told us, and he was very stern about it. He says, you must today exercise your prophetic office. And then I bring this up often, but I don't believe it was at that meeting, but I think I had read this, that he said the false deities will be unmasked through the suffering faith of simple believers. But that just has stayed with me. And so I feel when there's injustice, and when I say there's injustice in many, many, many levels of life, but I think, you know, today, for those of us, and again, I bring this up often as well, but it struck me during this time when Paul left Ephesus and he said to the presbyterate, to the priests, I'm leaving with a clean conscience. Because I didn't withhold from you the full counsel of God, but you've got to know that wolves are coming, and they're going to, you know, divide and destroy, and they're going to come from without. He said they're going to come from without, and they're going to come from within. And so, a little in my letter, I spoke about that, the a kind of persecution we feel from without as well as from within, and that's why we have to pray, you know, really pray for the Pope and pray for the prelates. The prelates that would be the cardinals and the bishops, and pray for the priests, because we're the shepherds and we're supposed to be leading the flock. And yes, read the signs of the times, but we have an obligation to pass on what's been given to us, what's been handed down to us. And so, yeah, I see the temptation. And of course, and I even mentioned in the letter, you know, as a pastor, you know, because this whole synod on synodality, the dialogue and listening and to accompany, inclusion, I get it at a real level, because that's what characterizes our lives as pastors. We're doing that if we're being true to who we are, you know. I'm constantly in dialogue, listening, I accompany, and you want to include, but not at the expense of truth. Mm-hmm. Truth has to be upheld. And that's why I say, you know, to give oneself to Christ means we've got to change our lives, because isn't that the whole gospel call, is to repent and to convert and to a metanoia, a change of heart, transformation, sanctification. Are responding in love to love, to God's love, because it's gonna. Because we have to think beyond ourselves, and we have to think about our children, our children's children, the future, and ultimately the salvation of souls. And if God is a demanding God, mm-hmm. He is not permissive. And if we and Jesus clearly said, you're going to be at enmity with the world. You're not going to be accepted. If you, on account of my name, you'll be hated, he said, by the world. And so this is a battle. Cardinal Sarah actually points to this, and I appreciate that very much with Cardinal Sarah and others. But there seems to be this this ideology is diametrically opposed, mm-hmm. one to another. And it would be, on one hand, okay, yes, dialogue with the world, but what constitutes that dialogue? Certainly we're not going to be aggressive in... we have to be aggressive in defense of the faith, but with charity and mercy mm-hmm. and understanding, but at the same time, and that it be clear to everybody that we're not going to diminish or obliterate what's been handed down to us. There is no surprise of the spirit in this regard. The dogma, the doctrines of the faith are there through the sublime working of the Holy Spirit. And
this is why it's so important for the laity. It's our obligation to pray for our shepherds, as well as to defend our faith and to defend the teachings and the truth.
So, you know, and this is the thing, you know, those of us who are in the trenches, mm-hmm. Who are dealing with people in real time, in their real lives, and they're trying to, like you said, hold to the faith. How do they defend the faith against the spirit of the mm-hmm. world today that is indoctrinating their children? Mm-hmm. And their children are very much affected by what's going on, thanks to social media. Yeah. Technology, which really puts me right into mm-hmm. this Google poll sponsorship of LGBT Pride and drag show, mocking Christ after backlash from employees. Mm. Well, thank God for that. The employees backlash, that there was a backlash. But I just want to share this, and then I want to go into Saint Maria Goretti. But in a rare instance. Of acquiescing to anti-woke backlash, far-left internet giant Google dropped its association with the San Francisco drag event after a group of employees expressed their objections. So this event was to take place in San Francisco, and the drag performer Joshua Grinnell, better known by the stage name Peaches Christ.
Wow.
Anyway, a few hundred Google employees signed a petition against the company's sponsorship at this event, which they claimed was provocative and inflammatory artistry that constituted a direct affront to the religious beliefs and sensitivities of Christians, on top of violating the company's guidelines against events featuring sexually explicit activity. Now, Google later, they withdrew their sponsorship, but their spokesperson, this Chris Pappas, claimed that Pride and Drag was planned without going through our standard events process, while adding that the company has long been very, very proud to celebrate and support the LGBTQ+ community. And this Joshua Grinnell himself expressed his defiance. He says, "In my world, Jesus has a sense of humor," the drag performer said. "Yes," he says, "I did host a hunky Jesus contest. Yes, I support the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Yes, my show is called Midnight Mass, but the Jesus and the God I believe in does not care."
Wow.
So this is another example of the really disturbing rise of, he says, in anti-queer and anti-gay rhetoric that is using drag performers and trans people as scapegoats. But then, so... organizers admit that such uses of drag are intended to give, and I quote, "kids glamorous, positive, and unabashedly queer role models in a space where they are able to see people who defy rigid gender restrictions and be molded into bright lights of change in their communities." And then, of course, you know, it's mentioned here about the city drag march, in New York City drag march. It was a pride march. "We're coming for your children." That was a chant. We're coming for your children. So anyway, I guess the good news is that such a powerful and liberal company as Google made even this small concession as a sign of potency for the public's ongoing discontent with so-called woke corporations. Consumer boycotts have contributed to financial losses for prominent companies such as, you know, Disney, Target, and Anheuser-Busch in retaliation for wading into contentious social issues most commonly relating to homosexuality and gender. So anyway, that's that. But I mean, it's just because it's constant in your face. Mm-hmm. And as I say, we who are in the trenches trying to uphold the faith, and you know, we're dealing with parents who are struggling to navigate through this because their children are very much affected by these things, and this is the agenda. That's mm-hmm. the agenda, you know, as clearly stated there. So contrast that with, you know, today is the feast of Saint Maria Goretti, who at the age of she was just what I think. Well, she's from Italy, born in 1890, in 1902. So she was only, what, 12 years old? She was stabbed to death, preferring to die rather than be raped. Her family was a poor family in Corinaldi, Italy. And so she was canonized, yes, by Pope Pius XII, and I just want to read or share with you the homily at the canonization of St. Maria Goretti. And listen to this in contrast to this other stuff that we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis, even to the point that the churches, or some in the church, are talking about the blessing of same-sex unions and all that, trying not to equate it with marriage. But, I mean, just the idea that, you know, let me read this, and you can make your commentary or just respond. So Pope Pius XII, he says, it's well known how this young girl had to face a bitter struggle with no way to defend herself. Without warning, a vicious stranger burst upon her. By the way, I think he was alive and at her canonization, the very man who stabbed her. I believe he was. Yes. Without warning, a vicious stranger burst upon her, bent on raping her and destroying her childlike purity. Destroying her childlike purity. Isn't this what's happening? You know, did you see that? I saw the video of the, again, this was in New York, these old guys twerking mm-hmm. in the faces of these kids. Now, first of all, why would these families, you know, they're lining the streets like for a parade, hundreds of thousands of people, and these guys are naked, basically naked, twerking in the face of these little kids. And these are old guys.
Innocent children.
Innocent children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bent on raping her and destroying her childlike purity, in that moment of crisis, she could have spoken to her Redeemer in the words of that classic, The Imitation of Christ, "Though tested and plagued by a host of misfortunes, I have no fear so long as your grace is with me. It is my strength, stronger than any adversary. It helps me and gives me guidance." With splendid courage, she surrendered herself to God and His grace, and so gave her life to protect her virginity. The life of this simple girl, I shall concern myself only with highlights, we can see as worthy of heaven. Even today, people can look upon it with admiration and respect. Parents can learn from her story how to raise their God-given children in virtue, courage, and holiness. They can learn to train them in the Catholic faith so that when put to the test, God's grace will support them and they will come through undefeated, unscathed, and untarnished. Think about that. Again, in view of what's happening today in our culture, you know, we just talk about the families going to these parades and what's, or just these drag story hours, drag queen story hours. And I've told you, you know, the one where the drag queen was dressed as a nun, a religious sister, and did a striptease in the presence of these children. And the children are putting money in his underwear.
Perversion.
From Maria's story, carefree children and young people with their zest for life can learn not to be led astray by attractive pleasures, which are not only ephemeral and empty, but also sinful. Instead, they can fix their sights on achieving Christian moral perfection, however difficult and hazardous that course may prove. So he's not, the Holy Father isn't being naive here. It's difficult. It's a, you know, there's a power within us, and we have to take mastery over our lives under the grace and power of the Holy Spirit, living under the Lordship of Christ Jesus, who, like that guy said in the, of himself, you know, that, well, what did he say? Jesus, God, and Jesus, well, God and Jesus are one and the same, but they approve of it. they approve of what he does.
Wow.
Crazy. Instead, they can fix their sights on achieving Christian moral perfection, however difficult and hazardous that course may prove. With determination and God's help, all of us can attain that goal by persistent effort and prayer. Not all of us are expected to die a martyr's death, but we are all called to the pursuit of Christian virtue. This demands strength of character, though it may not match that of this innocent girl. Still, a constant, persistent, and relentless effort is asked of us right up to the moment of our death. This may be conceived as a slow, steady martyrdom which Christ urged upon us when he said, "The kingdom of heaven is set upon and laid waste by violent forces." And boy, are they ever present in the world today. So let us all, with God's grace, strive to reach the goal that the example of the Virgin Martyr, St. Maria Goretti, sets before us. Through her prayers to the Redeemer, may all of us, each in his own way, joyfully try to follow the inspiring example of Maria Goretti, who now enjoys eternal happiness in heaven. I mean, where do you hear us talk about the virtues of virginity and chastity, or the sacrifices, as the Holy Father here says, Pope Pius XII, instead of, as we see today, this going out of our way to accommodate or to appease or to make a people feel included when they choose not to be included in the moral fiber of the faith. It's their choice. It's their choice. And if they're, you know, and again, it's all of us in whatever state of life, whatever walk of life, we all have to struggle to adhere to be obedient to love the commandments of God. Jesus calls us to a life of high virtue. And so it's a very superficial reading of Scripture. And actually, I've heard this, you know, so this guy that said, yes, I did host a Hunky Jesus contest. Yes, I support the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence who desecrate the cross and other horrible things that I can't even say on the radio. But he says, yes, my show is called Midnight Mass, but the Jesus and the God I believe in does not care. You know, as I've heard people, young people say this, you know, that, well, God and I, we work it out our way. Because, see, so it's this idea that God is a demanding God, not permissive, holding us to a very high standard. And yes, it is an effort. You know, pick up your cross and follow me. It's a very narrow path. It's a difficult path. If you can stay on it. But the faith is a discipline. And But to applaud and celebrate a way of being, a way of acting, is completely misguided.
Mm-hmm. And mocking God.
That's all it is.
And making fun of somebody, what people hold sacred, the religion, the Christianity. They wouldn't dare make fun of other religions.
No, they would not.
They would not, because they know better.
They would not. That was something that was just came out of the Vatican yesterday, where the Holy Father spoke in defense of the Quran. You know, nobody would advocate the burning of the Quran. Mm-hmm. Somebody did burn the Quran, I think in, I want to say it was in Sweden, I'm not certain of it, but, and he did come out in defense of the Quran, and so be it. But there was some, I was reading something about Sharia law, and he, whatever, I don't know enough, I have to, it's beside the point. I guess the point is, as you're saying, is that you wouldn't, we don't denigrate or mock. Mm-mm. Or belittle anybody for their religious beliefs, nor do we mock or belittle or denigrate individuals who are suffering their own disordered. If you use the word disorder, then you know,
right. You can't
use it. It's going to be used against you. But my gosh, you know, if the motive here is to, as he clearly stated, is to indoctrinate these young children, so that they it's not to safeguard the virginity, the purity of the child, to safeguard their innocence for as long as that innocence can be safeguarded. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus is the words he spoke were very strong in the gospel, that anybody who leads the innocent astray, better that a millstone be put around his neck, he be thrown in the sea and drowned. I mean, those are pretty hard words that the Lord spoke. Not that we literally do that. We wouldn't do that. That would be contrary to our faith, but the Lord uses such strong language. It was last week, I think, the gospel for Sunday, but from one of the other gospels, the language is even much stronger. Jesus says, unless you hate your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your son, your daughter, you're not worthy of me. Mm-hmm. Well, the Lord isn't calling us to hate anybody, but he's making a point, unless you put me at the center, unless you build on the foundation of my life, you're not going to know how to love properly. Mm-hmm. Your wife, your husband, your mother, your father, your son, your daughter, your brother, your sister. It's the centrality of Christ to the moral well-being of society. Again, as we've said so often, because of original sin, we're born into this world that is full of disorder. And unless we submit, surrender, and trust, consecrate our lives to God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who's revealed himself fully in Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who said, you know, go and preach repentance of sin, conversion of life, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, make disciples of all nations. This is for a greater good, the greater good of the whole of humanity. And from that we built a civilization, a Christian civilization. We could call it Christendom, which wasn't perfect. It's never, this side of death, there's never going to be perfection, because we're the church militant in the battle, and it's a spiritual battle. I'll tell you, because we're almost out of time, but tomorrow I'll definitely go into this, because this will be a follow-up to what we're talking about today. Bishop Sarah's 5 points, or his 5 pieces of advice in the face of the crisis of faith in the world. Nobody can deny that we're in a crisis. By the way, you know, the reading from today on this occasion of St. Maria Goretti, the first reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. But he says, brothers and sisters, he says, the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord. and the Lord is for the body. God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Whoever is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Avoid immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the immoral person sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? You are not your own. You're created by God for God. You've been purchased at a price, at the blood of the Lamb. Again, the precious blood, the month of the precious blood. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And again, going back to the words of Pope Pius XII, yes, it's not easy. And nobody, you know, we're being perfected if we're disposed and receptive to the inner working of God's Spirit. But if we give free rein to the flesh, as St. Paul said, the flesh will of itself lust against the Spirit. And this is what we're seeing in a big way, in a big time. And that's why I say, you know, I've written in the letter, don't be gaslighted into thinking you're unloving because you don't support or embrace lifestyles that are radically in contradiction to how God has ordered the world. Again, God is a God of order. We're in a disordered world. And now when you got the collective support, people struggle. Yes, I listen to people's struggles. That's part of the, the synod on synodality. I mean, that's the life of a pastor, of a priest, to listen, to accompany, to dialogue, but not at the expense of truth. You know, and you fall, you pick yourself up. You fall, you pick yourself up. You fall again, you pick yourself up. But you keep your eyes on the Lord. Let the Lord be your companion on the journey. Let him lead you and guide you. And again, the Lord never deceived us. See, all this is deception. All the stuff that's being indoctrinated into these children are deceptions. It's diabolical. But even to say that, you know, it's going to wind us up in prison at some point or another if things keep going in the way that they're going. And the church, you know, again, must hold to the truth in season, out of season. This is an out of season time. Convenient or inconvenient. This is an inconvenient time. And we're not in Christendom no longer. I'm reading a book on this now, but we're in an apostolic, there's an apostolic challenge before us. And I like this book because it's written by this Monsignor Shea from the University of Mary, the University of St. Mary. I'm not quite sure exactly where, but once I get through this, I want to share this on the radio. But he talks about the era in which we're living now. That's where there has to be a declaration. Are you with me or are you against me? Are you hot or are you cold? But you can't be lukewarm. We can't relegate ourselves to the sideline. We got to get into the sacred drama, and we've got to be willing to lay down our lives for love of Christ and for love of our people. And that people would be the whole of humanity, the whole of humanity. Certainly this is an age of mercy, no doubt. I can see why, because there's so much confusion. Anyway, everybody, God bless you. Thanks for being with us. Tomorrow we'll talk about Cardinal Sara, his words. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong. but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.